Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. Welcome to the R7 podcast. Today, I am with my awesome sidekick, Dave Bennett.
What's up, man?
Today, we're talking about Destiny Part 3. So much to talk about. Probably can do five of these. May end up being five. I don't know. I got some really good questions from the field this past week. So I want to bring these out and keep on pushing on Destiny for those that are listening or watching out there. You know, it's a very, very interesting subject, very, very tricky, can be straightforward, depending on how you see the world. Today, we're going to be talking about your locus of control. But before we get into it, Dave, how do you know you found your destiny?
Oh, man. And I do like the fact that the opening song to our podcast ends in, "This is my destiny." Like, I want to sing it. Right? You got to be passionate.
Yes.
Dude, that's part of the answer. How do you know? It's something you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Right? Your destiny. It has to do with something you're passionate about. It has to do with the fact that you would do it for free. You're not doing it for the paycheck. You're doing it because of what you love to do, man. This is your destiny. It's what you're created for. And it almost feels easy, right? The people tell you, they give you feedback like, "Oh, you're really good at that." You're like, "I don't know what I'm good at because I just did it." "Well, how do you do it?" "I have no idea. I can't explain it." Right? That's kind of how you know a little bit, right?
Yeah. We've talked about the purpose linked and the passion profile archetype clusters and, you know, kind of doing that assessment to figure out where you're at, or using StrengthFinder or Personality Plus or any of those other personality assessments. You know, I think that, you know, there's always space for your purpose and your passion. The world's going to make space for you. And so how do you know you've found it? You know, I think that it's just not simple at all in any stretch of the imagination. You know, even when you found it, is it easy? You know, here's another question. Why are there so many problems?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I you're talking about the fact that it's not easy to find your destiny. It's funny because if you pay attention, and you don't have to be a celebrity, but think about the celebrities you know who's found their destiny. Tiger Woods found his destiny. Jordan probably found his destiny. Here, let's throw out a really controversial one. Taylor Swift probably found her destiny, dude. Mm. You know, if you can combine your passion, your calling, your giftedness, your skill set, all the stuff together, you can be a freaking rock star at what you do. And it's easy to see from an outside looking in perspective on somebody that's actually found it. They're exceptional. But like you said, it's not without a school of hard knocks, right? It takes you back to Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, right? 10,000 hours.
Yeah, 10,000 of the right hours too. You know, yep. Like I think about, you know, does practice make perfect? No, perfect practice makes perfect. You know, so it doesn't matter if you're just doing the reps. You got to do the reps with mentorship. You know, you got to do the reps with coaching. It's interesting, you know, why are there so many problems? I think there are always problems and always, you know, the adversary is out to kill, steal, and destroy and provide confusion. I know in past podcasts, we've talked about what is the adversary's, you know, agenda, that is to confuse you. You know, it's an arrow in every direction. And so there are problems that, you know, the adversary doesn't want you to be in perfect alignment with God, what God has created you to do. Yeah. And so there are problems. There are things that we do that, decisions along the way that just aren't part of your passion, aren't part of what God's called you to do. And so that brings in trouble. But even then, let's just say you're on the path. Why do you think there are so many questions, so many problems, Dave Bennett?
I think God allows those problems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that you rely on him first and foremost, that you don't think you're going to get anywhere in your own goodness, merit, skill, whatever. Like, again, God wants us to be people that surrender to him. But the pragmatic side of it too is it makes you better.
Yeah.
Right. Think about your journey, right? With Emma's Good, R7, right? If you think about that over the last 20 plus years, you could probably rattle off some pretty key points in your journey that were problems where God showed up and you didn't know how you were going to get through it, but you did. And you look back and you're better because of it. Your business is better because of it. Your team is better because of it. You can look at it, you know, from a business standpoint, did you lose clients? That was a problem, but you grew mm-hmm. because of it. Or maybe as a church, you know, pastor, you lost some people in your congregation, man, and that was painful, but it was good at the end of the day. You know, I think, you know, you're talking about the right practice, perfect practice. The other idea is practice makes progress. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when we're going through it, we're going through and we're trying to get better, and we do run into issues, and even sometimes issues ourselves, we got to grow through that. But if we handle those obstacles and hurdles right, are we not better because of it? And if we're not, why?
You know, I think we want to box things up, especially men. Men like to box things up and put it in a box, and none of those boxes really touch, you know? But yeah. I also think, like, pursuing, like, the word destiny is just a really hard word to get your mind wrapped around, where it's the journey is the destination, and it's fluid. Things are changing all the time. And so this road that we think we can walk on just isn't straight. And so things happen. We react to things. We make decisions about certain issues and concerns and thoughts. And those sometimes aren't aligned with our best interest at hand, you know? And so I just remember me personally, like, I go, okay, I want to get into counseling and I want to understand, you know, the psychology of a human. And I'm working with all these, you know, Christian professionals. And I remember going, I'm in trouble here, not with the law, but I'm in trouble with, like, anxiety and depression. And I can see it. And, you know, people are confiding in me and I don't know what to do with it. So, you know, what do I do? Do I not get educated? Do I not get trained? No, I go, you know what? I need to get a master's in counseling sports psychology, you know? Yeah. So I need to train myself. It's fluid. This is a situation I want to pursue, the circumstance, the industry, where I want to really go after it and be the best version of myself. And it's constantly fluid. That's how I would answer this question. Why are there so many problems? Man, the world's changing.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a great book out there called Who Moved My Cheese?
You know, Spencer Johnson, man.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I remember right before COVID, I said, you know, to my team here, I said, listen, we're going to work. And I gave everybody the book. Said, we're going to read this book and we're going to work and we're going to work in the office. And now there were some exceptions to that, but for the most part, we were in the office, we were working. And I gave everybody that book, including clients and staff. And we went over and said, listen, there's sniff and scurry and there's hem and haw. And we are not going to be hem and haw. We're going to sniff and scurry. We're going to find a way to create value in this marketplace. Right or wrong, I don't know, but we just kept on trucking, man. I've probably had COVID 11 times. You know, and so I just keep on drugging. never had a COVID test. You know, I'm not proud of that, but you know what? It is what it is. And, you know, like, I just kept on moving on. I'm down for 2 days.
Dispensers in your office.
Yeah,
there you go. But that's okay. So let's use that as an example, though. I mean, you saw a need, you were passionate about helping people. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, if you ask them, they'll tell you what they're passionate about. But then isn't the key, I mean, we're talking about destiny from a vocational standpoint. They don't know how to monetize that. How do you monetize your passion? Because if you're talking about destiny, doesn't there have to be some component of that there? If we're talking about overall destiny with what you do in terms of what you get paid to do during the week at some point, because I mean, you hear about the idea of people feeling like they're on the hamster wheel and nobody wants to go to work. And I think in a former podcast, you and I talked about the fact that people didn't trust their organizations. There was this Gallup poll, right? We talked about this, didn't we? People didn't trust the organizations. They didn't want to go to work anymore. They were sad. They were depressed. And so part of that tells you that a lot of people are not living and walking in destiny. And so then the question is, I mean, we said, what would you do if you didn't get paid for it? Okay, I got that. But at the same time, you can mean you got to monetize that. So you had to have gotten to some point in your journey with MS Good where you were like, all right, doggone it, I got to monetize this, right?
Yeah. I've heard this before, you know, actually many times go, you know what, there's just no money in what I'm passionate about. And I'm like, that's a lie, man. That is a straight up lie. There is millions and millions of dollars in whatever you're passionate about. And somebody is making millions and millions of dollars. Somebody's making thousands of dollars. Somebody's making hundreds of dollars. It just depends on where you're at in your journey with that industry. And the other thing that I think is important, I had this place called Reset Island for many years. And I still use this email, Dave at the Reset Agency. But it was a place in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where we took executives into the jungle. I had five Delta Force retired operators, and we brought these executives into the rainforest there in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And you know, it's like I always regret that because I had it up for a couple years and it was working good, but then I shut it down because it was just getting really, really hard. It was one of my biggest regrets. And I think that you can be skilled, you can be passionate, you can be determined and committed in what you're doing. You're just not a player. You know, and so it takes time for you to be an expert in that field and for other experts to recognize that you're with them and you've paid the price to be there.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to say, you know what, I'm going to get into the automobile business. Okay. And in the first year, you're not going to be successful because if you've never been in the automobile business before, you've got to, I'm just making that up. You know, you've got to basically be in that space for a while to be recognized as a person that's, this is why Hollywood is amazing because like, yeah, I'm going to go make a movie. Okay. Well, you're gonna have to go to live in Hollywood for about 5 to 7 years and just grind it out because you're not a player. You're not on the team. And so this happens in every industry that people want to get into, or they have a passion from God or, you know, a vision from God, where they say, okay, I'm going to get into this industry. All right. Cancel whatever you're doing for the next 3 to 5 years. Cause you're about to get slaughtered mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You gotta lay down some great messaging, you gotta lay down some great ads, and you gotta be in that industry and take your punches. Cause otherwise, you know, the other people in the industry are not gonna see you, or the consumer, it's even better yet, the consumer's not gonna see you in that space. And they're just gonna wait for you to fail, and the other guy's gonna come in and swoop in the impressions to get you to purchase.
So here's the interesting thing, right? So, okay, Pastor, before you turn this off and you go, this is just about business, just time out. Hold on a second. Don't run away yet. Hang out with us for another couple of minutes. I promise you it's going to be good. So, you know, you're hearing about us talking about monetizing things. But again, as you start your church, the local church does need funding. And so part of the thing as a really good leader of a church is you've got to be able to know how to hit the stewardship button for your church as well. Okay. And so I want to encourage you as we go, you've got to be able to build your church, your network, the things that God has called you to do as well. So here's the thing. So Dave, check this out. Like I think it was 2 weeks ago, I'm listening to this podcast by a guy who's been in the music business for like 20 or 25 years. He's actually teaching, he actually teaches a course at Belmont University in Nashville, where my oldest son goes, and he helps students figure out how to get into the music business, because Belmont's a big music school. Music business is their biggest major there once you graduate from college. And here's what he said. This really got to me. He said, you know, you've heard the old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, and we're all listening to this podcast going, yep, I know, I've heard that before. But here's the thing. He goes, that's not true either. It's not who you know. It's all about who knows you. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving, listening to this, going, doggone it, he is right. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know, but it's really not about who you know, it's about who knows you, right? And Dave, I think you gave me the book, gosh, how long, 4 or 5 years ago, The Power of Who.
Yeah.
You know, that you already know everybody you need to know to be successful in whatever you're doing, whether it's growing a church, growing a business, growing a dot org, right? A nonprofit. There's already people out there that you need to know. And so this is part of the recipe of destiny, right? How many times have you seen somebody go, I am passionate about where I'm going. I want to go here, but they sit at home and wait. You can't build a circle sitting at home and waiting. You got to get out and make friends. You got to get out and make sure the right people know you. It's the same thing you're talking about with Hollywood. What are you doing grinding it for 5 to 7 years? You're working and you're getting to know the right people that know you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of destiny. You know, go back and look at, you know, who knew, you know, Michael Jordan's talking to all kinds of people. He knows Dean Smith. He gets to go to UNC, right? And then who knows who he's talking to when he gets drafted still, you know? Taylor Swift, you can't tell me she was born with a microphone in her hand. She wasn't. Okay? A very good friend of mine, one of my mentors is good friends with Bob Taylor. Bob Taylor owns Taylor Guitars. Watch this. Taylor Guitars, he gets a CD one day about this with this like 13-year-old girl singing on it, playing guitar. And he's like, oh, this is pretty cool, from her dad. And that was Taylor Swift. And he said, you need to use Taylor Guitars. You go back and look the last 15 or 20 years, the majority of what she's playing is Taylor Guitars. And so her dad knew it's about who knows you. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, when you're thinking about destiny, passion isn't enough.
Talent isn't enough.
That's right.
Skill isn't enough.
Yep.
So yeah, so who knows you? That's a great message. Who knows you? So let's add this image in here. I want to talk about this. So this is your locus of control. So this is kind of a mindset, a belief, a culture thing, you know. And so there's two types of locus of control. Those are listening. I've got on the screen here of a guy and a bunch of arrows going out, and a guy kind of questioning and his arrows going in. And so you have an internal locus of control. What's that say, Dave?
You make things happen.
So if your internal locus of control, you make things happen. If you have an external locus of control, that means what?
Things happen to you.
Man. So if we go over here, there's Tiger.
Yep.
You know, we talked about Tiger. He makes things happen. Yep. And then we've got our Mulaney. Probably things happen to him. But I want to show this right here. I control my destiny. Right? So that's the internal. I control. The external says they control my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So things happen to me, or I make things happen. Let's talk about this for a second.
Oh my gosh, dude. And I think we start dealing with this as parents when our kids are little, because it's all about the external. Mm-hmm. They did that to me. They caused this. And you're trying to help them understand that no. You own your attitude. You own your actions. They didn't make you do anything. You made decisions. And that's what it is. You know, how many people do we know where that is their worldview? I mean, that's the whole thing. Everything that happens to them is what determines their direction. They have no control. There's no internal locus of control. It says, I decide what I do. I go where I go. Now, again, don't fall off the cliff. We're not talking about the fact that God's not invited in this conversation. He very much is, and his destiny is for you, not against you. But we still got to own it. You know, I think of the common phrase you hear, you know, especially in large churches, you know, work like everything depends on you and pray like everything depends on God.
Mm.
What that means is you have to have a high internal locus of control. You have to understand every decision, every action, every staff person, everything has to do with where you're going. Like, you have to know that at the end of the day, the buck stops here and you cannot point at all the other things. I mean, what's common is, for a lot of churches who went through COVID, well, was COVID happened here and it's nothing I could do about it. I mean, not every church hit the complete wall during COVID. Okay. Marketplaces are the same way. Well, the market's down. Okay.
I think my biggest struggle with this, the woke mindset out there, is it feels like things happen to you.
Yeah.
Right. Everything's happening to them. There's nothing they can do. And it's like this angry notion that the world is already set. The wheels have already turned. And therefore I'm going to make a difference by being angry or being upset or changing everything about your lifestyle, Dave, but I'm not willing to change mine.
Yeah.
So you have to conform to me.
Yeah.
I don't need to conform to you.
Yeah. It's living this life of you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the millennial generation got a pretty bad rap about thinking that everybody gets a trophy, regardless of what the outcome is. I get a trophy even though I lost. And you got Tiger Woods on the side going, second sucks. But like, you know, you've gotta own your part in this, you know, and that's where you can believe in destiny. You can believe that destiny is real and that you have one. And I don't disagree with that. But it doesn't hitch its wagon to you owe me. Because at the end of the day, Dave, God owes you nothing. He owes me nothing either. Nothing. So why would I look at him and be like, you owe me, God? This is my destiny. You're supposed to put it on my lap in a silver platter. That is not how that works.
So is it fair to say that there is a philosophy out there that says God is in control, but I need to seek God and I need to figure out what it is that I am really good at and fall in line with what God's promises are? Do you think that's a mindset of successful people? Now, when I say successful, I'm not talking about like cars and houses and boats. I'm talking about MEPS, which is mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually successful. We're not talking about lots of money and possessions here. So, and even then, even further, we can say that being successful feels like I'm in line with what God has called me to do and I feel fulfilled in my life. Do you feel like that is the path of the people that would be termed successful?
I think it is. I mean, I think you got to own those actions, but I mean, you want to ground it in a biblical narrative. Think about the life of David. I mean, David gets anointed when he's a kid that he's going to be king. Is he king at that moment? Nope. He has to wait years to become king, and he probably could have become king faster. God delivers Saul to him a couple times, but he says, I don't want to kill God's anointed. Even his closest guys didn't understand. Like, dude, why are you waiting? Let's just go. Yeah, right? And so he's got to wait a while, and then he becomes king of Judah, and then later he becomes king of Israel. Like, man, like, don't tell me he didn't know his destiny. It was poured on his head. You know, not too many people get hit with that real of an example of what destiny really is for them, but it's still takes that time, and he's got to be able to pursue that. No one handed him anything. He was a proactive participant in his destiny. He did not sit back and wait and with his hands open going, well, who's going to give me the crown? I'm just waiting. And by the way, nobody needed that.
I can't wait for them to give it to me because I'm special, right?
Exactly. God promised it to me. You know what? At that point, you're going, dude, God promised a lot of things to a lot of people, man. Go back to sleep. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's good. Or I'm going to tear down everybody around me, so I'm the last one standing. Did he do that?
Exactly. And watch this. He was, and we all know this, he was a man after God's own heart. So what does that tell you about the heart of God?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't like people that sit around and do nothing either.
Mm.
Right? God wants us to pursue our destiny 100%, but then he gets to sprinkle in his anointing, his blessing, his direction on it as you go. Think about those people that you know. It gives me chills. Think about those people that you know that have lived those lives. They've got amazing faith stories.
All right. So here's a question I got from last week. And let's see how you answer it. Who's in control?
I mean, at the end of the day, we like to think we are. God needs us to surrender to him on a daily basis, but surrendering doesn't mean sitting in the corner with your hands up.
Can I not surrender to God and be in my destiny?
Sure. You can be in your destiny in a bare bones experience, but it is a fully formed, God ordained, satisfying destiny? Probably not. I mean, so you can look at you can look at great examples of even Christian leaders that you may feel were right, like were in that spot. But I would argue that if you were really close to them, if they are not pursuing their destiny in a 360 degree way in everything, I don't know that I believe that, that that's really full destiny. But then again, not, then you can look at people that, you know, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer preaching, you know, preaching during the Holocaust. Was he in his destiny? It was painful. It was awful. He ends up dying in it. Well, yeah, that's still his destiny. God never said your destiny was easy.
Here's another question. Do we have multiple destinies?
Do we have multiple destinies? Well, I think we live compartmentalized lives. I mean, you've got, you could have a destiny in your vocation. You can have a destiny with your family. You can have a destiny with your spouse. You know, I think that's kind of, Dave, that's kind of the work of R7.
Yeah,
to look at all the different parts of your life and say, how do I channel that into an actual vision, mission, experience so I understand what that destiny is?
So after doing this for 10 years, I've kind of looked at it this way, that their destiny the journey is the destination, right? Yeah. And so there isn't a target on a bullseye somewhere that says, I've hit it, I've landed. There's not a peak on a mountain that says, I've done it all. So the way I look at it is in this MEPS, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, There are peaks and valleys within each one of those categories. So sometimes we're peaking mentally, but emotionally we're in a valley. We're peaking spiritually, but physically we're in a valley.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have done this with my wife. She's fit. I'm not. I'm fit. She's not. You know, it's like we're never fit and we're never fat together. You know what I mean? That's funny. So it's so fluid, and the world is changing and we're changing and our thoughts are changing and our decision-making is changing. And so it's not something that says I've arrived. It is constantly fluid. And we want this. I've arrived. I've done everything. Well done, good and faithful servant. But at the end of the day, it's just not how it works in your career, in your spiritual life, in your professional life, financially. Financially is certainly peaks and valleys, and there's definitely not a peak there. You know, we've all experienced some, you know, like we think we have money and then all of a sudden somebody's got a lot more money and you go, man, I don't have any money at all. You know, and so it's just a constant peaks and valleys in my mind. And so how do we chase it? We chase it by being warriors with the Holy Spirit and understanding where we're going and trying to hear, feel, see what we're supposed to do next, challenge, you know, our activities, stay in the Word of God, write it out. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says, you know, write your vision on a tablet, make it plain so running by can see it and carry it with them. That's the amplified side. But like, you're taking your vision, you're running with it, and you're constantly challenging yourself on what's next. How do I get better mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually? So it's not easy. Definitely need mentors. You know, definitely need, you know, somebody in your life and that can help you and say, this is a dumb move. This is a great move. I don't look at it as something that, you know, like, okay, we're here and it's just, this is the path and nothing can change. Everything is pivoting all the time. And the question is, how hard are you going to pivot? Do you go to school for marketing and say, I'm not passionate about this, and then go be an electrician? You know, you just constantly pivot and pivot and pivot till you get to a place where it's like, all right, I'm gonna explore this area. I'm gonna be great at it. And that's where I think the Michael Jordans and the Tiger Woods of the world have found that a little earlier than later. You know, you mentioned the Outliers book.
Yeah.
You know, it's 10,000 hours, right? It's hard to be an expert really after you're 20 years old, because of all the distractions. So you see, you know, these people that are just crushing the world, they found what they want to do early and they just got better and better and better and better and better. I think about 10 years ago in the marketing side of things, I said, you know what? I don't need to go do something different. I need to be better in my, you know, in this marketing space. So it became messaging. So instead of saying, hey God, what's new for me? I said, hey God, how can I get better at this? And that changed it up for me enough where I really got fired up on messaging and KPI management and web development. And now something new coming along in the marketing space is AI. Like, how are we going to use AI? Yep. So instead of going wide with lots of, see this with the, you know, the younger generation, they want to try everything and go wide, wide, wide. Instead of picking two or three things and going super, super deep.
Yeah. I think you and I, gosh, how long ago was it, man? Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, interviewed a friend of yours, pro hockey player, ex-pro hockey player. And he talked about the fact that child all-stars, he said something crazy, right? That like child all-stars, like 90%+ of child all-stars never make it pro. And so if you look at any pro league, it's just a handful of child all-stars. The rest of them were people, to your point, that just kept getting better and better and better. They were never the greatest person on their team, but they just kept getting better and better.
Yeah, I think the term is age-specific all-stars. Yep. So at like 12 years old, they're awesome and everybody thinks they're going. They're going to the NHL, but by the time they hit 16 or 17, they're not even playing anymore.
Right. Right.
But they're so absolute studs at a young age.
So as you were talking, this is kind of the statement that came to my mind. I want to know what you think about this.
Yep.
Destiny is not a destination, it's a direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the journey. It's that mental, emotional, physical, spiritual peaks and valleys inside that direction.
Maybe it's a disciplined direction then. Because it makes me think of the R word. We haven't said it yet on this podcast, but you have to apply a whole lot of rigor to that.
Yeah. You know, those that are listening out there, we're going to land a plane here in a minute. But those that are listening out there, there's a great book out there by Angela Duckworth called Grit. And she went on a pretty cool journey to figure out what attribute made people successful. So she interviewed a lot of different people over a certain period of time. I think it was like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she found that grit was the attribute that made people successful. So I kind of think of like, what's my talent? What's my skill? What's, you know, what's my, how persistent am I? How committed am I? And I just look back and say, okay, the people that have really crushed it have grit, but are committed. They're committed to the process.
Mm-hmm.
That fires me up. That fires me up in so many ways because I grew up a broke person in a broke part of the country. And I just couldn't wait to get out of this town. And I knew I didn't have a lot of skill. I knew I didn't have a lot of talent, but I knew I could be committed to something. And that's why, you know, it's 23 years of building this bed. I would say commit. I've been in my house for 17 years. You know, I'm just committed to the process. And that fires me up because if I rely on my talent, my skill, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. But sure.
It's just a decision. That's not even like a gifting, you know, like some people say, well, if I was taller, you know, but you're not tall. So what are you going to do?
You're going to get a stretcher. Oh my gosh. You're right. Though, but that goes back to locus of control. It's not,
I just control. I'm going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not, you know, witty enough. I don't look good. I don't, you know, all the things.
There are certain cultures, I believe, that focus on certain internal and external locuses of control. I know I've hired some in the past that have an external and an internal locus control, and it's very interesting to see and watch and see how they interact with, you know, our environment here. And I can see that on a much global scale, you know, of how that changes the world depending on how you see yourself in the world.
That's right. Well, it's interesting too, you know, because I mean, if you take somebody from a different part of the world especially if it was a very impoverished part of the world, and they come to the United States and they become a citizen and they start a business. We have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They think this is the greatest land of opportunity ever. And they go out there and they give it everything they can to build a business. And so many of them do. I saw some crazy stat the other day, like 43% of the Fortune 500 companies are either immigrant founded or founded by children of immigrants, like direct children. Mm. That is all internal locus of control. I am going to make this happen. I'm in, and part of it, you know, and you can say part of it is it's a, you know, you're in a different culture, you're in a different place. You appreciate more things, but like still to your point, I'm committed. I'm going to give it everything I can because now I finally have a shot. And I read that and I kept thinking, I'm like, man, if we had more people that actually understood the opportunity in front of them, and that might be you, if you're listening, that you have a destiny, man, you've got a calling, you're passionate about it and you don't know what to do next. I promise you, if you heard what Dave said a minute ago, you can do something. Mm-hmm. You can begin a direction. You can begin to figure out and ask people questions. You can either even volunteer and do things for free just to learn how to do them so that you can begin how to get your career or your direction going. It's possible. Tons of examples out there to show you it's possible.
It's so inspiring and so encouraging to hear you say that. And you know, just a reminder of, again, people listening out there watching, like, you have greatness inside of you. It just needs to be chiseled away.
That's right.
Or it needs to be some more rigor applied to it or some more commitment to it. You know, I think that God's no respecter of persons, that, you know, he, according to, you know, the Bible and, you know, a great book that we talked about earlier, Bob Bodine, like, his book,
The Power of Who,
you know, saying that, you know, God doesn't put a vision in your heart and then not have the resources around you. Like, okay. God is awesome. God is love. Because you have this vision, there are resources around you that can help you accomplish that vision. That's exciting, man. And you don't have to be the most talented, skilled person, educated person. You know, you throw some grit and some commitment and the willingness to fail around it, and you can accomplish it, man. That's so exciting.
Oh, right.
You get so fired up about that, man. But if you sit there and do nothing, what is it? You know, God, you know, somebody said this to me, God can't steer a parked car.
Neither can I.
Not many people can.
No, you know? No one can.
Yeah. So. All right, man, this is Destiny Part 3. Thanks for joining us. It was a pleasure. Give us a like out there on YouTube. Subscribe. We love being with you every week, and we'll see you next week. Next week, we have a special guest. Mr. Brian Wall from Worship Tutorials is going to be joining us. And so he's excited to talk to you, Dave Bennett.
I'm sure he is. I'm excited to talk to him, too. He's a good dude.
All right, we'll see you next week.
See ya.